Good afternoon and welcome everyone to the Accessibility Advisory Committee meeting today on Monday, July 1st, 2024. As you just heard, this meeting is being recorded and the meeting audio will be placed on our website, which is wmata.com. I would like to share a few helpful tips for people who are joining through phone calls. You can press star 6 to mute or unmute yourself. If you would like to make comments, you can virtually raise or lower hands by pressing star 9. Everyone who is on the video conference, you can click on the raise hand icon to raise or lower your virtual hands. And if you'd like to make comments to speak, you can click on the speaker icon that will mute or unmute you. I would request everyone to please stay on mute unless speaking because it helps us eliminate any external noise. So in advance, thank you for staying on mute until speaking. If you're able to utilize the tools to raise virtual hands, that would be very helpful as well because then we know that somebody's trying to make comments and we can have one speaker at a time in the order we receive the hand raise icons. Just as a reminder, we also have two American Sign Language interpreters with us on this meeting. Therefore, when speaking, please state your name before you start making your comments because it helps the interpreters in doing their job well. It also helps everyone on the phone calls knowing who the speaker is. And when people listen to the meeting audio, it also helps them. So please keep that in mind. And we also request everyone to please describe yourselves briefly when initially speaking. For instance, I'm a female, I'm Asian Indian, I wear reading glasses, and I have long dark hair. Chair Sheehan, I can go ahead and read the meeting agenda, and then I can go ahead and take the roll call of the committee members.
Very good. Okay.
Okay, great. Thank you. So before I start reading the meeting agenda, I would like to share my screen. So if you would bear with me for a quick moment. And when my screen is visible, if you can confirm, somebody can confirm, I would appreciate that.
Yes, it's visible.
Okay, thank you, Sandy. So just like I said, after I finish reading the agenda, we will go through the roll call of the committee members. Afterwards, Chair Sheehan will go through the approval of today's meeting agenda, approval, last month's meeting minutes, and the board report. At 5:40, we will have Mr. Blake, Vice President of Access Services. He will provide us an update on Metro Access. And after that, Chair Sheehan will discuss DMV moves. We have Hedinger Award every year. For last few years, we have been holding the ceremony virtually, and we can discuss that briefly just to initiate that process for Hedinger Award 2024. At 6:45, we will take any public comments, and the meeting is scheduled to adjourn at 7. Apologies. After we go through the public comments, we will take Bus and Rail Subcommittee report, followed by Metro Access subcommittee report. And then the meeting is scheduled to adjourn at 7:30 p.m. I'm going to stop sharing my screen now. And we will go to the AAC roll call. So when I call out your name, please confirm your presence. Azhar Atura. Janice Bush. Tino Calabia.
Filipino American with a blue shirt, present.
Thank you, Tina. Vanessa Coles.
Present.
Thank you. Rico Dancy.
I'm sorry, I'm here. I got on a purple shirt and African American.
Thank you. Tawan Farmer. Debbie Fisher.
Present.
Thank you. Marcy Goldstein.
Present.
Thank you. Timothy Howard. Steve Caffin.
Present.
Thank you. Thomas Mangrum. Thomas actually informed that he may not be able to join the meeting today. Philippa Mazzell. Sandy.
Present.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Philippa. Sandy Newsdell.
Present.
Thank you. Phil Posner.
Present.
Thank you. Doris Ray.
Present.
Thank you. Denise Rush.
Present.
Thank you. Paul Semelfort. Patrick Sheehan.
Here.
Thank you. Kelly Simoneau. And Philip Weintraub. Okay, that concludes the roster for today's meeting. I will continue to look out for any members of the AAC who join, who might be able to join later. Chair Sheehan, at this point, I would ask for you to move the meeting forward. You have the floor.
Okay, I certainly will. Thank you, Anu.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
It. So I'm going to ask for approval of the agenda first, minutes second, and board report third. Just a little discussion on the agenda. I know that we had invited Randy Clark, CEO, to talk to us. Just heard this morning, though, that he was not able to make it. So we will do our best to reschedule him in September. We also had invited Valerie Santos, who
Mr.
is
Chair.
Going to be the new... Hang on.
Mr. Chair?
Yes?
Hi. This is Doris Ray. I'd like to move the agenda be adopted, but with one modification. If
right. Well, I haven't called for that yet, Doris. I was just trying to explain to people. So,
well,
but
no. It's simply to reverse the open discussion and put public comment first. But if you don't want to do that, I was just thinking so that when we have an open discussion, we could take into account public comment.
Okay, I'll ask for that in a second. Let me just complete my thought, though, on this. Valerie Santos, the new newly elected chair for the WMATA board, was also invited. And we'll try to get them into the meeting in September. So we'll see if we can get them to attend that meeting. Now let's see, I'll bring up, thank you, Doris. I'll bring up the agenda. Do I have any additions or suggestions for the agenda? And Doris, you suggested to move what item up?
Yes, to just adjust making public comment first and open discussion after. So we make sure that we get the public comment in and also so that we can take it into account in open discussion.
Okay. I don't have a problem with that. Anybody else have a problem with that?
No.
I'm good. Okay. That's fine, Doris. Thank you for that. Any other additions to the agenda?
We do it with those additions, I mean, those modifications, Pat.
Okay. Very good. Is that a second then, Paul?
Second.
Okay, good. Thank you. Is there any opposition to accepting agenda as modified? Hearing none, the agenda.
No.
Oh. We good? Okay. Hearing no objections, the agenda is approved. I'll go to the minutes next. Do we have any additions or corrections to the minutes? A motion to accept the minutes as submitted?
Yeah, I'm so moved.
Good. Do we have a second?
Second.
Very good. Are there any objections to adopting the minutes as approved? Hearing none, the minutes are adopted. We will go to the board report. Motion to accept the board report as written. Additions or corrections to the board report. Sandy, you had a good point. Board report. Yes, thank you.
So my suggestion was to include the site visit with Sarah Myers to L'Enfant Plaza, June 10th. Just a few sentences about that.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Sandy. I agree. That's good. Any other additions to the board report?
I say we move to accept the board report with the friendly amendments from Sandy or anything else that might come out from this meeting.
Excellent, Paul. Thank you.
Can I ask something, please?
Certainly, absolutely, yes.
Okay. So we need to make sure that I don't know how many no do you have to give interpreter service for the board, okay? So if they have a public meetings or public whatever at the director's level, they need right away provide interpreters because what I understand from one of my friends, they cannot when their call comes service trying to provide it get interpreter for the board of the director, it's hard to get through. And I told him I will make sure I bring it up.
Okay. Is that something we need to add to the board report, or is that just a recommendation going forward?
I would have to add that to the board report.
Okay. Could you write that up maybe and submit that to Anu? Rico?
Yes, I will send her email.
Okay. Excellent.
Right now.
Very good.
So that's I think fine. My motion still stands, Patrick.
Right.
Accepted with any other modifications that friendly from Sandy or any other items that may come out from this meeting.
Good. Thank you, Paul. Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay. Do I have, do I hear any objections to adopting the board report as amended?
No objection.
Hearing none, the board report is adopted, and I appreciate those suggestions. Thank you. So we don't have Randy Clark here today, and we tried to find a suitable substitute for Randy. So we decided we would ask Mr. Blake, who's notable in his own way, to come talk to us and give us updates on Metro Access. Mr. Blake?
Yes, I love that subject.
Mr. Blake, you're on.
Okay, I'm here. Good evening, everybody. Good afternoon.
You're a little bit soft on the mic.
I'm soft on the mic.
Yeah.
Okay, let me try to come closer, and my volume has been cut down. So, is that a little better?
It is. Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
I'll talk about it. Okay. What we're doing now, we talked about it during the last meeting briefly. Well, not so much briefly. We're hoping that today is back to normal day for Metro Access. That's our goal. We do have the new contractors working and underway and in our call center where everything begins. And that has been some of the frustration, although I'm sure customers have been frustrated on a lot of points of Metro Access lately. But in the call center, we have a new contractor. And what I wanted to do, I'm trying to see if, oh, yes, he is. This is not the, if you remember, Mr. Subcommittee Chair Semaphore, you asked to be introduced and the committee to be introduced to the management of the new contractors during the next Metro Access Subcommittee meeting.
Yeah, both the street service and most importantly, the call center.
Correct. And we're going to do that. This is not the formal presentation of that. But when I was called to say, why don't you give us some updates today and tell us what's going on? And today is the first day. I'm going to talk a little bit, but y'all hear from me all the time. But I did want to take this opportunity to allow Marshall King from Transdev, who is going to be the general manager of the Metro Access Operations Control Center, or better known as the call center for Metro Access, and let him introduce himself, talk about a few things, and then when he's finished, I'll probably add a little more yeast to the bread and give also committee members an opportunity to pepper Mr. King with a few questions just to give him a preview of what he's in for coming to this region. Now, we're not trying to scare him away now. Just remember that. But listen, without further ado, let me turn it to Marshall King, General Manager of Metro Access Operations Control Center. Mr. King, all yours.
Thank you, Mr. Blake. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Marshall. I am the project manager for the new contractor taking over and running the control center, as Mr. Blake told you. We represent Transdev, who is we've been running on the startup project for a few weeks now, and just today had our first day of service in the call center. So we are running reservations and the Where's My Ride queue and the dispatch department, as well as scheduling in the control center there. We're very excited to be part of your guys' story and your daily process, and we're hoping that we can make things better for you. I think today probably we're going to have some stories about things being a little bit rocky, and I do ask that you bear with us as we start to get things under control. But we are expecting things to get better for you guys, and we really want to hear what's important to you so that we can make sure that we can partner together and move forward to make things better for everybody. I'm not familiar with the current format, so if you guys take questions or just have a free-for-all, Mr. Blake, guide me here, but I'm happy to answer any questions.
Sure, my hand go up first, Mr. Blake.
Well, before you go, Mr. Chairman, can Marsha just tell us a little bit about where he's from, some of his other areas that he's done this kind of work in, and also maybe tease us or tease the community, tease you all, actually, of at least one thing, and I'll talk more about it as well once he's finished, but some of the things you expect the customers to experience now that you're here and Transdev is here and MV is not here. What can they, will they notice anything different? Let's give them a little more details and tell us a little bit about yourself, though. Let them get to know Marshall King.
Absolutely. So my background is as a call center general manager. I've worked at other contracts up and down the East Coast, making sure to implement best practices and bring paratransit call centers up to kind of the next level of modern expectations and how we do things. I know that you've had the call center being operated by the last company for quite a very long time. And so we're excited to jump in and make some changes there. One of the things that we can expect is that we're going to have quicker response times and reservations. One of the things we're doing to make that happen is to bring everybody in-house. I know that in the prior system, people were working from home, and so a lot of call takers were operating on a daily basis under their own supervision. We've decided to switch that model to bring everybody back into one call center so that we can monitor them throughout the day. And we expect that that's going to result in shorter call times and better responses and more polite agents for you and everyone else using the service. Another thing we're doing is that we've created a new department specifically to handle Where's My Ride duties and answer those phone calls. So that whole department is going to be coming online. We had a number of them active today, but dispatch was still taking a lot of those calls as we're ramping up on our staffing in that department. But ultimately, we expect that that group of people are going to be the ones that are answering questions and calls when people call in for Where's My Ride, and won't be dispatch anymore. It'll be a totally different group of people. So we have a separate group of people to take Where's My Ride calls. We're expecting that that as well is going to improve your experience as a caller, shortening hold times, and also getting people who are trained to be more polite and focused on helping you to get the information that you and the other riders need when asking about Where's My Ride or dealing with moving trips over to Uber. Christian, did that kind of check the boxes we were looking for? You'd like to have me talk about a few other things as well?
No, that's pretty good. And how about one last, just a tease, we don't want to get too deep into it. This committee is used to me promising great things, and some things have been great. Let's not make no mistake about that, but some things have not lived up to the hype. Let's say the hype at the mic that we've given it out, and I'll just, you know, admit that, acknowledge that. But you do, and I know over in MARTA, which is a very large paratransit service, and in Milwaukee, which will probably be slightly smaller than us, your customers there, and also some other smaller properties, but just in comparison with some bigger properties, Customers that are using paratransit service in which TransDev is the call center or operations control center manager, those customers actually are using, or some if they choose, are using an app called My Transit app. How much do you know about that? And can you tease them about what that may be in when we attempt to bring that and bring that opportunity to the Metro Access customers?
Yeah, so I know a little bit about that. So some of our other large call centers around the country, we've implemented some mobile-based technology that allows people to check on their trips or to check on their pickup times or even to cancel trips through an app. So I know that that's something that we are going to be trying to implement in probably in another month or so, I think. After things stabilize with getting people new jobs and making sure that we're doing a good job answering the phones. And then we're looking to introduce some extra pieces of technology for our riders who are comfortable with technology to help ease their experience and provide them some additional tools to get the information that they need. I don't have that app in front of me, so I can't show you or get too detailed on it, but those are kind of the high level points on some of the things those apps can do for people who can use apps.
And just so the customers will know, because of some things that we're doing, and we'll be talking more about it during the third week, but the idea of introducing the My Transit app for you is going to replace the Find My Ride web-based tool that you've been using that is currently offline for a little bit starting last night. So we're working on that. But Find a Ride is going to be replaced by My Transit app. And while we were very pleased with it and many customers adopted it, we think the way they're going to be staffing and managing, you're not going to miss that so much, although we do believe in tech-based technology, technology. The idea is that one company had the Find My Ride, this company is going to have My Transit app, and we're going to make it work. And as much as you love Find My Ride, we think you're going to love this even better if we can get it right. And I'll assure you this, we're not going to rush it to the market. We're going to make sure it reflects the Metro Access service that you've come to expect. And in the same way we've, for several years, given you some great benefits that other places don't give you, we want to give you an app that, even though others are using it, we want to make sure it reflects a quality and a nation-leading service that we're trying to be. So I'll stop at that. And yes, pepper away at Mr. King. I think you can handle it.
I'm sure. All right, Paul, I think you were number one on the hit parade, right?
Oh, yeah, I got my hand up first. Hello, Mr. King. As the Metro Access Subcommittee Chair by trade, I'm a special ed teacher, so I work with students with disabilities. That is my background for at least 25 years, and most of it in Prince George's County here. One of the things that we've discussed at meetings, our biggest concern with the call center, and hopefully you will bring under control, are two of the biggest departments. We envision, hopefully, that you know, with reservations, while we love things, and I'm a user of apps and things and web-based technologies and use it for paratransit in New York, similar to what you're saying, where we do envision having my AA, like something like I use my AAR where I can book trips, I can see my current trips, I can track things, I don't have to call the call center. They're always, the phone has to be open at all times. And I'm sure my colleagues here on the AAC will resonate that we have the majority of our customers here, while some are tech savvy, you're going to hear them echo very loud and clear. Don't leave behind those whose only option is to use the phone to access reservations or Where's My Ride. We envision, particularly with Where's My Ride, hopefully a whole new spirit of professionalism from their employees and the ability to, where similar to where I call paratransit in New York City, that customer agent is to able to handle calls so well of a multitude of issues where it's almost rare that they need to elevate it to a supervisor, because they're, trained and skilled in handling all assets, versus right now, I went through three phone calls just to, move something to Uber or something else like that. It shouldn't happen like that. The customer comes with a purpose, and they want outstanding customer service, as I look at Metro Access Management on the screen. I think that's what we need to work towards too, in terms of that service standard for customers who try to reach Where's My Ride? With reservations, as I said at the last meeting, it is a civil right. I know there's work for y'all to do. Customers, again, a lot of them are need to speak to that reservationist, give them that opportunity, but also have open lines where if I know we've been using that text number. I mentioned and recommended maybe emailing, reservations or those who are able to book it online. But we want to be able to use all those opportunities. But at the core customers here, the phone, they want to be able to access someone on a phone. I cannot underemphasize that. So I look forward to working with you. You're a breath of fresh air. We look forward to working with your team, and we look forward to meeting you and the rest of your team in 2 weeks on that third Monday at our Metro Access meeting, which I hope, well, I know you will be attending as you introduce yourself and lay out your vision work in terms of the work that's ahead, that how we're gonna give all of our Metro Access customers outstanding service when we call on that phone line.
Absolutely. I will definitely be there as well as the other leadership members on my team, Paul.
Thank you.
I'll look forward to meeting you there.
Without that, Patrick's you can go with the next speaker between Patrick and Anil.
Very good. Anil, who
Sure.
do we have?
Okay, so next we have is Vanessa Coles, followed by Phil Posner. Dr. Posner had raised his hand, he lowered it. So if Dr. Posner, if you'd like to make your comments, I know you did put a chat message. So Vanessa, go ahead.
Yeah,
Yes,
Anu,
hi, I'm
you
Vanessa.
can just ask my chat message
Sure, will do. Thank you.
and then move on. Thank
Okay.
you.
Thank you, Dr. Posner. Vanessa, go ahead.
Yes, hi. My name is Vanessa. I'm an African American, middle-aged woman. I had layers of hair, and I am wearing a t-shirt today. Welcome aboard. We are looking forward to the new improvement. I just wanted to make mention that I did notice today I called to modify a trip for tomorrow. And the new option panel is a little bit confusing, but I did see a modification tab. So I clicked on that, and the reservationist told me that she was booking a new trip. I said, no, I hit modification. So she did fix it. I think she was in training because I heard someone behind her, guiding and listening, and they said something. So I know there's going to be a curve. But I do like the different options. But I mean, I understood what they were, but I'm seemed like a lot of people, they had different names. It seemed a little confusing to me, the new options that's out there. And then yesterday, I did notice an improvement in that Where's My Ride text messaging. I did get an answer pretty quickly, but the person did not resend my link properly. So when I went to send another text message, I got no response. So I guess the going back and forth kind of text messaging thing, I don't know how that's going to work. But again, welcome aboard.
And we hope that improves too.
Thank you.
All right, thank you, Vanessa. This is Anu. I will read Dr. Posner's chat message. His question is, where will the physical call center be located? Can there be a visit to the call center in the fall?
That is a great question. So, right now we are at the new Carrollton building in WMATA. I'm not sure what their policy is regarding on-site visits, but I do believe that we are planning to move to our own building that's going to be nearby. Very soon, we have a place, several locations that we're looking at that are within just a couple of miles of the current New Carrollton building. And we're going to be moving either some or all of our personnel over to that. And I definitely think that a site visit, once we are in our own building, would be something that we can accommodate and would love to help facilitate that process.
Thank you. That's something the committee in the past has done to see what's really happening and how much work each individual agent has to do at a time. And it really gives a feel for what's going on. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you for the question.
Thank you. Next is Philip Weintraub, followed by Denise Rush. So Philip, if you would unmute yourself.
I'm Phil Weintraub. I was also wondering, like where's this ride? Would this also be like safe? Because will everybody be communicated on how to get to it? Because somehow there is somebody who I had a friend that I never, I, you know, I'm, I am, I live, I have, I have a disability, but I don't use the Metro Access, but I hear stories from for friends who use it. Like I had one friend who had a friend who his ride didn't come within the window, and he didn't know who to contact about to find out where it is. And can you try to figure out how you can communicate to everyone who uses Metro Access on how to call the call center or how to get the app or whatever?
Yeah, so this would be a question that I would want to loop Ms. Tarian and Mr. Blake in. I'm not sure what the current WMATA position is on posting call center phone numbers within the vehicles, but that's certainly something we could discuss, is adding some additional communication regarding the phone number that needs to be called in order to reach us at the call center. I'm all for making that number more available and more visible to the riders of the service so they know how to get in contact with us.
So this is Tarian Williams Hall. I'm an African American woman. I am middle age with long hair, and I am the director for Metro Access Services. And I echo Mr. King's sentiments. We are absolutely supportive of advertising all of the different ways that you can reach us. There's information that is already on the website, but we'll be happy to include posting the numbers inside the vehicles. That's a great idea, Mr. King, and we'll look forward to doing that.
Hey, thank you. Next would be Denise Rush, followed by Sandy Newsell. So Ms. Rush, please go ahead.
Hello. I'm Denise Rush, and I'm vice chair of the Metro Access Service. I want to echo what Paul Simifol stated. The technical people, we want to move up to the most technical service that we can receive, but we expect for all persons who are not technical to be able to get service also. And that means when you tell us to write down a number and contact them, if you're blind, which I am blind, I can't see the number to write down. So you have to make everything available for all disabilities, whether it's cognitive, whether it's visual, low vision, whatever the disability is, they should be able to call the number and get one-stop shopping. We don't want to have to hop, skip, and jump because we're not able to do that. So I expect that to happen. For a while, we've had technical problems with the phone service, and it has been acknowledged, and we've been patient, but patience is getting real thin when you're getting calls Saturday evening, and you might be out, and the person's frantic, and they need a Uber service. If they have to expect a ride at 5:30, and then they're told their ride will be there at 7:15. The business is ready to leave, and it's hard to get someone on a Saturday evening, but the business wants to close, and they can't close because they can't leave you there to 7:15. We don't want this to continue. Welcome aboard. We just cannot forget the people who are not technical. Okay?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you for that comment, Denise. I really apologize that those issues are happening to all of you folks who are using the service. Obviously, that is far from what is ideal in either WMATA's mind or my mind. So that's something that we're going to endeavor to make sure does not continue to happen. We certainly are interested in bringing in technology solutions for the people who are who like using those solutions, but I want to be clear to everyone on the call that that is by no means replacing any of the current options we have. We're still going to have a very well-staffed Where's My Ride department and a very well-staffed reservations department so that we can field all the calls in a timely manner and provide excellent customer service to everyone. So none of those options are going away. We're just looking at bringing extra tools in. And to Denise's point, we certainly want to make sure that we are making sure not to have anyone stranded out there for 2 hours waiting for a ride. That is frankly unacceptable, and we're going to be doing everything that we can to ensure that that doesn't happen going forward. So thank you for bringing that to my attention, Ms. Denise.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Next would be Sandy Newsel, followed by Rico Dancy. So Sandy, go ahead, please.
Hi, this is Sandy Newsel, senior Caucasian with gray hair and two pairs of glasses. To follow on to Denise's point about making it simple, will there be one phone number that you call to make a reservation and or track down Where's My Ride, or will the reservations and Where's My Ride be two different phone numbers? That's my first question, then I have a quick follow-up.
Okay. The first question is, and Mr. Blake and Ms. Terrian, please hold to correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that all of those are being handled by the same phone number right now. And once you get into that phone queue, there is an option to speak with reservations, and there's another option to check on Where's My Ride. So it's one number with multiple options after you call that number. I don't know how the system was before, but the last time I called the number, that's how it's currently set up.
Okay, and a quick follow-up, since I tend to use web booking, not the phone. This is why my ignorance in the question. Would there be a third option when you make a phone call to get the artificial intelligence assistant, Tim? Will there still be that AI option to ask to book a ride?
So Ms. Terry can speak about this more right now. Yeah.
Now, let's just say, yes, the goal right now is yes. We're looking at certain things. It's like everything I say, Sandy. We introduce some things. I hear feedback. And we've heard a lot of feedback. And when things are great, we keep running with it. When things are not perfect, we look to see, can we make it perfect, or do we pull it back and try a different approach? So at the moment, there's still going to be Tim for sure on reservations and even on a bit of Where's My Ride. And that's kind of what we're introducing for the moment, since we're not going to have the Find My Ride tool that we for a little bit. But as we introduce all these different things, if my transit app becomes the one-stop shop that makes life easy for a lot of people, we'll see what other options we make available or not make available. So it's a little premature right now because we have a lot of things in the hopper, but Tim is not going away anytime soon for now, that's for sure.
Okay, thank you. Next is Rico Dempsey, followed by Doris Ray. So Rico, go ahead.
Thank you. Congratulations. When I went to Cleveland about 2 weeks ago, they used to call RTF. Now they use a call EZ Fair, and they used another one called MOVIE, and they use Uber. So a train, they because they used to use RTA app, and then they transit to EZ Fare, and I use it when I was to Cleveland. So there on EZ Fare, you could buy your bus tickets, you could buy your fare. You could only pay when you pay on the door-by-door van. So they use the how you take the money, the driver take the money. They have a machine where you could use it, pay through the machine. Have we ever thought about that, about putting some of that on the metro access van? Because a lot of people use bank cards for everything, bank cards. So when you, I'm just curious about that.
So let me just chime in on that. That's a great suggestion. Don't get me wrong. And yes, I'm one of those people. Everything I can, I use my credit card for. The only reason I don't use my credit card is because they don't allow you to pay your gas and electric or anything else. But I love credit cards as long as you learn how to not to abuse them and not get caught up in all that stuff. So I think it can be good if it's used in a proper way. However, adding another device on our vehicles has been a decision. We've talked about this with the committee. Blame me, but yeah, I'm not a big fan of adding more and more devices to our vehicles. In fact, what we're really trying to do, Rico and committee members, and I've briefly touched on it, but we haven't gone too deep. We're really trying to go cashless. We want everybody to have their fares paid up front. And we're finding ways, and with all this technology, there are local ways as well as national ways, if you will, in which, and when I talk local versus national, I'm really talking cash versus online ability to pay online with something. But we're really looking to go cashless. This goes back to some of the great debates we had and discussion as to where do you collect the cash? Do you do it at the door? Do you do it at the van? Do you do it on the van? We really want to move away from all that. We want you to be able to show your ID and get in one of our vehicles and enjoy the ride. So the likelihood is not, certain. I'm not a dictator. I mean, I don't run everything, so things can change. But the likelihood that we're going to add a fare collecting device on our Metro Access vehicles, just being honest and transparent with you, Rico, and the committee, it's pretty small. It's probably not the direction we're going to go.
But Ms. Blair, also they have it on your buses. If you have that machine on your buses, why can we not add that to the Metro Access van? It just don't make sense. If you have it on the buses, the bus could do it right now, because I was just on a bus with my wife. She could use it on the bus. If they could do it on the bus, why can't we do it on the van? I'm just curious about that.
Well, we just believe there are other, and yes, so in a fixed route bus service and system is, although I'm always talking about fixed route equivalency, the bus service itself is slightly different. And again, we believe we have other ways that are a little simpler and easier for all of our customers to be able to loan money and do the things that you're talking about. And who knows, my transit app may be one of them. Our easy, well, it's going to be moving away, Easy Pay. We have ways in which you could do the exact same thing, but doesn't necessarily have to be on the vehicle itself. But
Thank you.
we're gonna, it's not open and shut, it's not a done deal. If these other ideas do not grow and do not actually become real, then we can't just keep saying we're looking at it. So who knows? A device on the vehicle could be the default direction we go. But I'm just being honest and frank with you that we're working very, very hard so that the fare aspect of all of these trips will be handled at the reservation level and not necessarily on a vehicle or
Oh,
with the drivers.
thank you, Mr. Blake. I know how many more hands do we have? We're almost at time here.
We have two more people.
Okay. We'll take
Doris.
those two more people and I'll ask the final question and then we'll move on.
Sure. So
Okay.
it's Doris Ray followed by Marcy Goldstein. So
Right.
Doris, go ahead.
Is it me?
Yes, go ahead.
My name is Doris Ray, and I live and work in Northern Virginia. And so I wanted to welcome you aboard, first of all. And secondly, echo what has already been said, particularly about ensuring equally effective communication for people with disabilities who are blind, deaf, and who may have communication disabilities. And in light of that, also, we have had some issues arise as a result of customer complaints regarding effective communication with people who are deaf and hard of hearing. And I look forward in the briefings at the Metro Access meetings about what you might be doing to enhance the training of drivers under your management in terms of providing equally effective communication. I love your idea of, for example, placing information on the vehicles regarding, where you can call for issues, but people kind of need to know about it, and the drivers need to know that when they're interacting with people who are deaf blind or deaf blind or have other communication disabilities, that they need to pay attention to the customer. And I know you can't do that when you're driving, but I think it's very important to be affirmative. And a question is, what has been your experience with ADA paratransit systems and managing reservation systems similar to Metro Access that were in the public ADA context?
Yeah, absolutely. I can answer that question. So I've been working in ADA paratransit for 10 years. 7 of that has been in management roles. I've been working in locations in every corner of the country, from Seattle to San Diego to Orlando, to up here in DC and many places in between. So a lot of experience with seeing how different agencies do it differently, and work with a lot of people who understand what we consider to be best practices around the industry. And so we're excited as Transcept to be coming into the call center to implement some of those best practices and improve the training for our staff and also the customer experience that you'll receive calling in. To be clear, I did clarify something that was mentioned earlier. We are not going to be in charge of the drivers in this contract. We are just doing the call center right now. So if there's any confusion on that, I wanted to clear that up. But thank you
Thank
for
you,
the
sir. Great.
question. That's right.
And Marcy, I think you're next.
Oh, okay. One quick question. When you said you have one number to call in for paratransit, and there's an option to do with my ride or to book a ride, is it book a ride number one, with my ride number two, or do you have to say book a ride?
So, Marcy, I believe you're asking about the differentiation between once you call in how to choose whether to get to reservations or to get to Where's My Ride? Is that your
Yeah.
question?
Yeah, do you have to say where my ride, or do they say press one or press two?
Yes. So that's the current system, and I don't think that's going to be going away. Is that your question?
Where you could press one or press two?
So I can help you out, Marshall. Again, this is Terrian Williams-Hall, Director for Metro Access. So as always, the first option is going to be to book a trip or to make a reservations. And so if you call in tonight, you would just press one, then one again, and you'll get to an agent to book a ride.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
And number
Okay.
two would
That's
then give you
one
the Where's My
thing.
Ride? Same menu that we've always used.
Yes.
So it has augmented just a little bit, Mr. Sheehan, beyond reservations. We've segmented those calls into trip status and then cancellation requests. So that likely sounds a little bit different. Yeah, so you'll press one option to get the status of your existing trip and the other option to cancel your trip.
That's we can get used to that. Very good.
Okay, great.
Okay,
Thank
thank
you.
you. And I have one, a couple of just quick questions to ask, sir. First of all, welcome aboard. Look forward to working with you. This is not a shy group, so you'll be busy. Compared to the previous contractor, MV, I don't know what they had, their staff for reservations, all that whole call center staff. How many did they have, and how many will you have on board?
Well, I don't know exactly how many MV had on board, but I can tell you that we are planning to have up to 90 people working during the peak hours of weekdays. And in fact, at some point when we move our reservations to our own building, if call volume continues to be high, higher than we had expected when we were planning for this contract, then we will continue to add call takers until we have the number of call takers necessary to meet the call volume standards that we have. So if those call volume holds at the current level, I think we would probably be looking to have up to 120 call takers active during peak hours.
Great. And you bring up a good point, Paul. I don't know that we've seen the deliverables on this contract. That would be a good thing to know. What the time on hold should be, all those sorts of things. Mr. Blake, I assume we could take a look at that, right? Now that the contract's been awarded.
Yes, now you can look at all that's publicly available. Yes, I mean
Right. That's
right.
We, just the standards that they're expected to meet as far as call time and all of that sort of thing. We're going to be
And that's
quizzing
in
people on it.
yeah, and that's going to continue to be in your in terms of their performance, will continue to be in the monthly report.
Right. Good. Okay. And
Yes.
then my other question has to do with the thinking machine, or Tim, I guess, as we're calling it. We've been experiencing a lot of problems, and I'm not sure why. I know that this past Sunday, was putting a return trip in, and I said I wanted to be picked up at 11:45 a.m. And it decided it needed to shift me over to a agent for, and I have no idea why. Didn't ask me to clarify my request, my time, or anything like that. Just said, nope, sorry, we're shifting you over to an agent. So I find that frustrating because I don't know if I did something wrong or the machine is having issues or whatever. I know that you're tracking requests, and when they get shifted from the AI back to the agent, but how far along, how many defects are we looking at, and when are we going to get some answers as to why this has happened? All I've seen the questions, but I haven't gotten any answers.
So let me just say this, Mr. Chair. We've received some feedback from customers, and there's a growing process with respect to the TIM, to the thinking machine. We're working at it, and what we're trying to do is put TIM in the most successful light it can be in for all customers. I'm receiving feedback. We're going to talk with our team about it. When I talk to the team then shares information that I've shared from dealing with customers and that they have knowledge of themselves from dealing with customers with the company, and it builds and grows from there. Tim is not the end all be all. We know the human interaction is very important, and that's why it's very important to get that part fixed more than anything. Tim does provide somewhat of a stopgap on certain situations, but when it comes to it's being a fail-proof, if you will, system, we're still working on that, working very hard and working with the company that's behind it. And I assure you, what we're going to do, like we've done with other technology introductions, as I was mentioning to Sandy earlier, we're going to find the proper role and place for it where your frustration that you're expressing, and rightly so, and others have, I have the text messages and email. Our friend Cindy LeBon wrote me this morning, just so you know. So
I heard.
Oh, you heard about that too. Okay. So we're working with it, and we'll ever say it will always ever be perfect. No, but we're gonna make it much better than it currently is, and it's better than it was. Trust me, it's better than it was because it's constantly learning and growing. But we're gonna put it in the best position possible to help you as the customer while helping benefit our service. So I would just ask you to continue to be patient. I think more people encountered Tim this time in the last few weeks than they otherwise would have, which may have created more frustration because they were already frustrated with the hold times and other things. I really want this period to kind of calm down, if you will. And I'm not saying the customers calm down. I'm talking about on our end where there was a lot of drama that I explained to you all at the last meeting, and I'm not pointing fingers at nobody, but we want to calm this period down. We want Marshall King to come in here like he's Martin King and just, you know, wade the waters for us and get us back to normal and help us with that. But while we're doing that on the human capital side, believe me, Ms. Williams Hall and team and the contractor are going to be continually working hard to get Tim to improve the experience that you and others have had.
Okay. So I think that it'd be great to keep a focus on it. I agree with you. The focus needs to be on putting the team together, getting them gel, bringing them into the call center, and developing that team, I think, is the first critical step. And then as you come up with improvements, or you understand why Tim was having issues transferring us back and forth, that would be great. I think people would appreciate knowing that, because I'm getting questions from people too. And I think for anything that we know, we can also send back to the customers and let them know that things are being worked on. Good. Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
I don't think we scared you away. I hope so.
Oh, you'll have to do better than that.
Okay. We'll work on it. Well, Mr. Blake can attest, we can be interesting sometimes. So we'll work on our approach. We'll see if we can be tougher next time.
Very you guys good, should always be as tough as you possibly can. The service is for you guys, and you are right to be fierce in defending it and expecting the best.
Well, people please let us up. Know. We'll
and
do.
I'll just
you,
say this, Marshall, this committee is firm, they're tough, but they're strong advocates. And when we do right, they are our biggest allies, and they help, and they have helped make this service much, much better because they're bringing their experiences. I mean, Rico was talking about Cleveland, Paul, and you know, we've talked about our approach to Uber. That's a direct reflection of Paul, who's about to get on one of our new non-dedicated service, but there may be some confusion. So Paul, I'll text you in a second. I saw your note. See, there's a lot of moving parts here. But I just want to say, Marshall, thank you for joining us tonight on short notice.
Of course.
This committee, even probably more important than the Metro Access staff, this committee can help you be a success and help Transdev be a success if we listen to them. That's the key. You've got to listen to them. We're not always going to agree on everything, but trust me, one thing I've learned, when advocates speak, they're not doing it just to hear themselves speak. And we can learn from all of them. And when we listen to our AAC, great things happen for this service. So thank you for joining the night.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you all. And as Mr. Blake said, I'm looking forward to partnering with you going forward to make sure that we're doing the best we can for
Excellent.
The riders of the DC metro area. So thank you for having me today. I look forward to seeing you all in person at the meeting next week.
All right. Thank you. Mr. Blake, great. Thank you very much.
2 weeks.
Okay.
2 weeks. Yeah, that's
2 weeks. Copy that. Thank you.
Good. All right. So I will next move on to next item on the agenda, which is DMV moves. I have been to Community Partners Advisory Group meeting. What was that? The 10th of June. We discussed vision statement, mission statement, and we talked about goals for what the community partners are going to do. I think I expressed it before. There are three parts to what the DMV moves is all about. What kind of service do we want to see by the region? And I stress region as opposed to Prince George's County, Montgomery County, the jurisdictions, because I'm thinking regional. Who is going to pay for, or how is it going to be paid for, and who is going to govern? And those are the three areas that that the task group is looking to solve, with input from both the Community Partners Advisory Group and the more technical governmental side task group. So I brought up several things that I saw were lacking in the vision statement. One was accessibility, and then of course four other people talked about accessibility, and I also indicated to them that I think accessibility is key, but accessibility for disabled people is different than accessibility, let's say, for a rail rider or bus rider. So we're all using the same word. It's important to everybody, but I stress that the disability community has accessibility requirements under ADA that need to be enforced. I also stress digital accessibility under the web content accessibility guidelines that went into effect in June, which are technical standards that need to be enforced. Brought those things up. I also discussed a little bit about where we were with respect to Better Bus Network, who I felt at the last meeting that we had was speaking more on a jurisdictional basis as opposed to thinking regionally. Although I didn't throw Better Bus Network or Al under the bus, so to speak, but I was hoping that the conversation would be more of a regional conversation than a jurisdictional conversation. With respect to that conversation with Better Bus Network a little bit, I did talk to Al sort of offline, and I said, you know, there seems to be a little bit of a conflict between what, you know, what the DMV Moose is thinking about regionally, what you're saying with Better Bus Network, particularly in Prince George's County operational, we're seeing less service. And he acknowledged that, but he said that they are very, Better Bus Network is very much in sync with what is going on regionally. They are more of an operational end to the bus system, as opposed to the policy and the DMV moves is pushing forward. So they're both working towards the same goal. We just have to define our needs and wants better, ensure that that is going to be something that we're pushing towards a better bus system with more regional transportation, and seeing how that regional transportation then is prioritized and who gets the resources. One of the things that I had always assumed, and Al just sort of changed my mind on this, was that Prince George's County was not getting its fair share from the state. And he indicated that actually Prince George's County gets more money than Montgomery County. And so how that money is being used and why we always see less service in Prince George's County is something that I think that this committee needs to focus on. Maybe in a minute or so I can turn some of this over to Denise, who is at the hearing in Prince George's County, just so she can give her impression on what was going on there, and what she said at that hearing. But Tino, I don't know, what your work agenda looks like, but I think that maybe come September, October, that we focus on maybe Prince George's County and see, number one, do they have a work do they have a work plan? And and that answer was from Al was yes. They're putting together a transit plan in Prince George's County. And number two, why do we constantly see or experience less service from Prince George's County? I'm not quite sure what's going on. I brought that up to the board, and they are very interested too. So DMV moves, going back to that, DMV moves, we were able to also include accessibility for disabled users as one of the goals that they need to consider and achieve in everything they're doing. And so I'm waiting to get the PowerPoint that was used to brief the task, the community partners task advisory group. Once I get that, I do have permission to send it out to you. I don't know if I will get the original the original briefing or the marked up briefing. I think I might get something that's marked up with our thoughts and ideas in that group. We meet again on July 11th, and then we meet again in September. We all take August off. So lot of information was exchanged. There is a lot going on in between meetings with lots of discussions between the various groups, also in the task group. So we're going to make sure that accessibility is something that's going to be upfront and considered right off the bat. And they seem very, there was no pushback to it. The other question that I did ask, and then Denise, I want you to talk a little bit about Prince George's County, was the use of some of the terms that we talked about. They're talking about the 11, I think it was 19 new bus ne or 19 additional bus networks that are going to be part of this regional network. And so I asked the question, if these 19 other bus systems are part of the regional le network, are they part of the fixed route of the fixed route, or as we say it and define it under ADA? And they didn't weren't able to answer that question. But if they're incorporated into the region, that would automatically extend paratransit to those routes. And so then, if we're talking about, the fixed route system for the buses, and we add this net this part additional parts to the network, and we're going to get additional paratransit. And that, of course, was meeting number one. So of course those discussions take place, and we'll see what happens. Lastly, I'll just say that in particularly in Prince George's County, one of the things that Better Bus Network recognized is that they were running routes, and so were other of some of these other bus networks are running routes. So they really want to start deconflicting the routes so that they're not, running over each other, and so they can put more bus networks out into the system. So we'll see where some of that goes. I'll share all the information that I get when I get it. There was a survey that I just took the other day. I'm going to send that out to Anu. It'll be interesting to get your thoughts on the survey and the questions that are being asked. But they're trying to get a lot of information into the into this DMV moves task force so they can get moving on making some decisions. They expect all of this to be completed by next July. So a lot of work to do over the upcoming months. Denise, can I recognize you to talk about the hearing in Prince George's County and what you discuss with respect, particularly to Prince George's County?
Yes, this is Ms. Rush. They had a hearing in Suitland last week. I attended the hearing, I testified, and they had areas where you could talk to them before you testified. and ask your questions. It was the same thing I went to a year ago. A year ago, they told me they were going to go further down in Clinton. They would be going to Waldorf, and they said they would be going down 210. I specifically asked that for PG County, and there's also some areas in Virginia. But when they presented it to us the last meeting, that information disappeared. It wasn't on their agenda at all. And it wasn't on the agenda last week. So I spoke about it at the hearing. I want to know if you're talking a region, this is a regional transportation system, why is PG County treated like stepchildren? They're not included in the region. And we've been asking for this for 10 years. And I told them, I won't be around 10 more years. I can't make it another 10 years begging for this service. But I just don't understand when you say region, the system, the bus system is a region, but it's not a region when it comes to PG and some areas of Virginia. I can't seem to wrap my head around that. And as all the PG counties, we use Metro Access the most. If there is not a fixed route to go down an area, then we cannot expect Metro Access to go there. We need to be at the hearings. We need to come to the board meetings. We need to discuss it at the Metro Access meeting. We need to talk about it every time. And we are not doing that. There were five people who attended the hearing and spoke. And they were not all from PG County. There were two from PG County. That is very disappointing. We need to be there. We need to voice what we need and what we want. A person doesn't know that they are stepping on your foot if you don't tell them. So we have to step up what we do to get what we want. You have to tell people what you want, what you need as far as service. And if you don't do that, you know, ask not, want not.
So, okay. You know, not, thank you, Denise. Not that I tell the bus and rail subcommittee what their agenda item should be, but I think that this would be an agenda item that we need to ask questions about. Sarah Klein came up to me, board member Sarah Klein came up to me afterwards, after I gave my little speech last week to the board. And she said, you know, those are good questions. That's something we need to look at. So the board is also interested in that. It doesn't make sense that they receive actually more money than Montgomery County, but it appears for whatever reason that that less service is, you know, evident in the county. It could also be the way the county's, you know, it's long and lean and you know, different configuration than Montgomery County. But I think we need an education so that we can start pushing some of this. I think it's way overdue for Prince George's County. So bus and rail, think about that as an agenda item going forward to see if we can get the appropriate people in Prince George's County to come talk to us and tell us what's going on and see what we need to do. How can we be of assistance to move the agenda forward in Prince George's County? So that's what I know. Right now, after meeting number one with DMV moves. Questions for me?
Chair Sheehan, this is Anu. We have Tina Calabia with his hand up and Doris Ray.
Good. We'll take those two. Also, and how are we doing on time?
We're also at 6:44, and
okay,
we should begin public comments at 6:45, as I believe
okay, so,
one
yeah,
member of the public with their hand up.
Good.
At 6:45 now. Can we go to public comments and then resume this topic?
Yes. Oh. Yes, let's do that. Let's do that, respecting the public who has been sort of sitting through a lot of this meeting. Then we'll jump to Tino and after Tino and Doris.
Okay.
Yeah, let's do that.
Thank you,
thank you, Anna.
So I just want to state that any members of the public who are looking to make public comments, if you're able to raise your hands virtually, please do. If you're on phone, press *9 to raise your virtual hands. If you are on the video conference, click on this raise hand icon to raise your virtual hands. This way we can take any members of the public who are interested in making their public comments in the order received. I do see one member of one person with LG initials. I just want to remind everyone that you will have 2 minutes. So when you start speaking, your 2 minutes will begin. If you would, I see LG in two places.
Yeah.
One is on mute and one is not muted. So if you would go ahead. Okay, I'm not sure if they can hear me.
Can we try the other, unmute the other LG?
I can only ask them to unmute. I cannot unmute them. Okay, there we go. Go ahead.
Yes.
We can hear
yes.
You. Go ahead.
If you're trying to make any public comments, please go ahead and speak.
I made 3 calls yesterday to check on my pickup ride. I never got a response, but I have not received a response until today. Is that going to ever improve? Will it ever get better? Options are being taken away. You don't have a live phone. You always have to use a computer. It does not work for everybody.
And I hear it loud and clear, and that's not the way it's supposed to have happened. And we certainly apologize to her if she wants to give me a call. I'll say it out loud. 202-281-8984.
Okay.
Please call me tomorrow. But you know, your experience is not unique. Unfortunately, this is not what we deal with or tolerate here at Metro Access. There were some situations, again, I explained, sort of out of our control, but I'm not making excuses. But moving forward, we expect those type of experiences to not occur. Transdev has come in today. We're fully staffed. They're getting people up and running. But please give me a call tomorrow.
Good. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Good. Thank you, Mr. Blake. I appreciate that. Any other hands raised or any other public comments, Anu?
Chair Sheehan, this is Anu. We do not have any other members
okay.
of the public. So if you'd
right.
like to resume, we can go to Tino and then Doris.
Yes, let's go back to Tino and Doris. And if you see any other hands, you know, I think we can probably accommodate
we
them.
We can come
later.
Back. Sure.
Yes. Good. Tino, go ahead.
Yes, thanks, Pat. Interesting to hear that Prince George's has a bigger budget than Montgomery.
I'm surprised, yes.
Yeah. I ride the Montgomery County ride on bus frequently, and I find it to be adequate. I have no complaints. Anyway, on the first day of the DMV meeting, which you attended, Greater Washington published the guest writer's review of how WMATA became what it is now. More importantly, the writer described the steps that you take to become an effective consolidated system. When sharing his article with everyone, I asked you this. Would the changes need to create his vision of a future WMATA with a stable budget be doable? Successfully taking all the steps he calls for seems possible, but how much time will it take to accomplish all the necessary political and budgetary changes for a consolidation? Meanwhile, we should consider other alternatives, especially related to dynamic, sufficient, and stable funding. It'll take time, but examples exist, such as federal funding. The May 2024 issue of Governing Magazine subtitled an article, Transit Systems Will, quote, Need a Lot More Federal Help to Stay Afloat, unquote. The author cites Anthony Fox, the former U.S. Transportation Secretary under President Obama, a November 2023 paper issued by the Metropolitan Housing and Communities Policy Center includes a paragraph recommending adapting the, quote, billions of dollars each year to state government to spend on transportation. And by that, they mean public transportation. I could go on, but instead, for the official minutes, I'll cite those articles and related articles, and I'll present the links to each of them.
Okay. And I'll certainly read those and take those ideas forward. Of course, Greater Washington, as you know, Tina, I think, is part of the 30 members of this community partners advisory group. So I'm sure those comments will be part of the record also.
Yeah. Tracy Hayden Lowe is chief of the board of GGW.
Right.
They get shots at the DMV.
And your questions about funding and can they get something done in a year is a good one. But I think one of the other, on the flip side, what I heard was 2024 was a horrible year. And having to go through that again and again and again is something nobody wants. They really are trying to break that cycle that we've been having over the last 5-6 years. It's not a good way to run a river. And I think everybody knows that. Yeah. Good. Thank you, Tino. I will look at that because I need to get smarter and all this stuff and make sure the recommendations that AAC is giving is good. The other thing you would find interesting, Tino, also is the RAC is also on this, is also in this with this group. So maybe sharing some of that with the RAC is another way to get that information out there.
Okay.
So, yeah, good. Thank you. Okay. Doris, you're up next.
Yes, thank you. I wanted to echo what Ms. Rush said regarding DG, but also regarding Fairfax County. And for example, in the last round of Better Bus and the new service that's going into effect now, a number of the long line buses that connected people in the southern and eastern part of Fairfax County to their government center and to areas like Reston, Chantilly, and other areas, Centerville, throughout the county have been eliminated, and the only way people can get around is having to go to the subway, and they get another bus, and it may only run once an hour, etc. So that to us doesn't seem at all efficient in terms
part of the
network, bus
right.
network. And what I wanted to say was that I think the committee, it would be helpful for us to look into when those hearings and events are happening, because they are happening in some cases right in the middle of commuting time before anybody, at least in Fairfax County, can get back and forth from work to attend some of those things. Should be a comment that we should bring forward, that input from citizens in those areas is limited by when they schedule and where they schedule things, because their hearings are being scheduled in mostly in Arlington and not getting to people in Fairfax.
So maybe one of the things the bus rail subcommittee can do, and I would find it helpful and educational, which I need, is to maybe we invite some of the correct people from the counties to come and answer some of the questions for us on what their plans are. I know that the counties probably have their strategic plans. What are they looking at? What are their priorities? What is their funding, challenges, constraints, and all of that? That could help us to frame the narrative. It's hard to argue and to advise if we don't have all at least the latest information. So think about that bus rail subcommittee. We've got, I think, two counties right now that that we have questions on. Doris, thank you for that. Good. So I think that wraps up the DMV moves discussion. Anu, was there anything else? Yeah.
Sure. If you would just give me a quick moment, I do want to state for AAC recruitment, we did extend the date for application submission. I had two inquiries about it. However, I have not received any completed applications. I am hoping that we do receive some applications so that we can fulfill the vacant positions. Again, our application is on the website. If anybody needs it, please contact me. I have put in the email and the phone number in the chat. I would be more than happy to provide an application to anyone who's interested, or if you know somebody who may be a good candidate who will be able to dedicate the time and have the commitment to support the AAC from Northern Virginia, that would be wonderful.
Particularly in Virginia, yeah. And I know I've recommended two or three, the applications go to two or three people, particularly AAPD. Do I have that right? In DC? The one I recommended to you. The individuals that I have recommended, just their plates were full and couldn't commit to the AAC. But I think if we're looking at risks to this committee going forward, because we have term limits and coming up at some point in the future, we don't have enough representation to fill some of the holes that we have. So this is really, really a critical need in the next month or so. We need to get good people on the committee who are committed to working. And as everyone on this committee pretty much knows, you don't have to come in as an expert, but you need to come in and understand that transportation is important and that you can learn over time and be part of the solution, because we've got some good people here that know a lot of good stuff. It's pretty smart. So try to make that a priority. It is important for this committee, so that we're viable, because the board does respect what we do and the advice we give. I want to maintain that level of quality of good reporting to the board that they're getting now and that they have received in the past.
Excuse me, this is Ms. Rush. Mr. Blake, are the AAC committees going to see the new vehicle in September like we planned?
If it's here, absolutely. We're waiting on the final mock-up or final version of it to be produced. But yes, as soon as it's here, we'll schedule an outing at one of the bases, or maybe out here at New Carrollton or somewhere where it's convenient for many people to get to test it out. But when we get it, you'll get to try it out. Absolutely.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Having your reward, Anu, help me out with this one.
Sure.
Have the Hettinger Award presentation scheduled, I would imagine, as we did last year,
Yes.
The first Monday in August, correct?
So,
of August, goodness sakes,
December?
I mean December.
December, yes. So for last 4 years, we have been holding the annual Hettinger Award ceremony virtually as a part of the AAC meeting in December. This year, the AAC meeting will be on the first Monday as usual. The date will be December 2nd. We will not have any meetings in the month of August, as we do not for many number of years. So just wanted to remind everyone to think about a candidate you would like to nominate for 2024 Hettinger Award. Last year, we had started talking about this pretty much at the beginning of the year because we had received some feedback that people did not have sufficient time the year before. Now we are mentioning it so that people have time to think about who they would like to nominate. You have the entire month of August, September, October, and we would like to touch base about it again in the coming meetings, just as a reminder, and so that the committee can discuss the process. There will be emails from me giving information about the packets. As you have done in the past, the members can complete the packets. The person nominating the individual can do so. We can have some supporting essays or, well, not essays, but a note describing why the person is being nominated. We can take a vote upon that. And then we would like to have everything finalized with the nominee in time so that we can have this award received by the person, awardee, before we hold this meeting on December 2nd. So looking at that timeline, I would say it would be a great idea for us to have the nominee voted upon by our November AAC meeting. That translates that we have the entire month of July, since it's July 1st today, August, September, and October. So the committee has pretty much 4 months.
Okay. And we can put that, we can formalize that timeline in the note to the committee.
Yes, as we move along, we can. Wow.
Definitely. Very good. Okay. So I just wanted to put that on everyone's radar going forward so that, you know, we can think about the award and who might be good candidates for that award. So, good. Anu, I think I'm up next. I think we have our subcommittee reports, bus and rail, and Metro Access, I think, are up next. I haven't jumped over anything on the agenda, I don't think, have I?
No, we have covered everything on the agenda, and then next are the two subcommittee reports.
All right.
I apologize. Janice Samuel has raised her hand. Janice, are you trying to make any comments?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you have a question? So unmute yourself, please.
Am I unmuted?
Yes, you are.
Okay. Sorry, I'm tardy. I do agree with all the comments about Prince George's County and with Ms. Rush. I'm sorry, I didn't know about the hearing. I definitely would have been there. And I do support your asking the county representatives to come to this platform to discuss with us. As a resident of Prince George's County, I feel like we're being ping-ponged. You know, we tell to go to the county to discuss this. The county sends us to WMATA. You know, I'm very passionate about this, and I do want to know, what can I do as a public resident of the county to elevate our service here? Because it's really pathetic. And I forgot my other point. But yes, I'm in full support of. Oh, and I'd also like to know who in the county are our elected officials that this falls under, because I like to know who I shouldn't be voting for, who I should not be keeping in office, because they're not providing us the required services. That's my comment. Thank you.
Thank you. And I'd like to get more information, because I would like to be able to argue on behalf of Prince George's County. I agree with what you're saying, and I'm Montgomery County, so I feel pretty fortunate. But Prince George's County has, I think, had it rough for many years, and so I'd like to get smarter so I can advocate on behalf of Prince George's County and see what we can do. But I need more information so I can make my points better. So I think that would be great. Bus rail, if you can get that on the agenda, that would be great. And then sure. If we can maybe do Fairfax, yeah, Tino. I don't set up your agenda, but I think that's something that's...
Pat, you and I are lucky. We're from Montgomery County, and Mark Corman is in the State House of Representatives, mm-hmm. and he chairs a committee that oversees transportation. And I found him to be very thoughtful and helpful in regards to public transportation for our county. Okay. I only wish that there was someone like that in Prince George's and maybe other counties.
Tina, if you'd like, I mean, you kind of heard what the scope of the problem is.
Yeah, maybe we could.
Maybe you could, yeah, if you'd like to initiate a discussion with him or whatever to see how we could do that and find the right people. Yeah, that would be good.
Yeah, I don't think we need to talk to Corman, because Montgomery County is, relatively speaking, in pretty good shape compared to other
counties. He might know who we could talk to in Prince George's County, yeah, to get them the right people. Yeah, okay. I was just going to recognize you anyway, Tino, for bus rail. Go ahead, sir.
Regarding the minutes of the last meeting, in June, we spent a lot of time on the Better Bus Network redesign. Actually, we also discussed the public meetings that were coming up in Prince George's and the other jurisdictions before a new Better Bus Network redesign document is completed and presented to WMATA board in the fall. The other big item was a discussion of the wayfinding visit to L'Enfant Plaza, for which we were assisted much by Sandy Newsel and, of course, the people who showed up at L'Enfant Plaza. Those were the main items that we took care of. I hope that in our meeting next week, we could deal with the question of how to make sure people know about whiteboards, not just the station managers, but riders know that whiteboards are available. And this will probably require having some sort of icon very visible at the station manager's office, as well as in any new brochures presented to help riders understand what's available. That kind of wraps up what we did at Bus Rail.
Thank you, Tina. Good. Paul, any questions for Tina? Very good, team. Thank you. Paul, Metro Access.
This is Paul Silverport, Metro Access Subcommittee Chair. We discussed last week, at the last meeting, in terms of the new paper and the management for the call center. And of course, that person should introduce himself and welcome aboard, because he has quite a feat and task to tackle with the call center and getting things done. And street service will be provided by, Robbie Work and his crew, National Express. Now, what I experienced today is management does know about, at least Mr. Blake, I hope no customer is experiencing as we're doing this transition. I had a pickup scheduled for 6:05 got picked up in the window, but by another from news non-dating provider, KTS, and they attempted to take me to a trip that was scheduled for tomorrow. And then when I kind of saw where the trip was ending, they had to return me back home. Luckily, things got corrected, but I hope this is not happening to other customers. I know this is a rough transition, but we've got to do better than that. Because that's how I had to see, and if that was a blind customer, that would have been a total disaster for anyone else. But I just had to put that bit out there. We got to do better. I know we will do better with this transition in terms of making sure not only, and I look forward to customers getting, excellent phone service from both with my ride-in and both reservations, that it also happens with, appropriately picked up with street service too.
Very good. Thank you, Paul. And I know you'll be looking at the performance indicators, particularly with the new contract, to see how they're starting out meeting those indicators.
Yeah, let's get this correct based on what I just gave as an example, and I know they will. And management has corrected that, but the performance indicator I'm concerned about, and hopefully the folks sister and the Robbie work is online to see, is I've seen the uptick of the number of safety incidents has gone up over the month, and I know that they have aggressively implemented escorting you from your seat of the vehicle to the door, a first exterior door of like your house or whatever residence, but we got to do better with that, with safety measures also.
Okay.
Well, there was an increase. Well, let me just clarify on that. There was a spike in March, and actually, if you look at the statistics, you'll see that there was just a number of injuries, like 7. 5 of them were what we call non-preventable. And we have video where people are just running into our vehicles, and we brought it down. And I can tell you, when you get to the June month, which will be the next time we have, because we're always a month behind in terms of the reporting, you will see that for the month of June, we only had 2 safety incidents and 0 injuries for the month. So that's our normal standard. We have been well below our injury and incident ratio for a good 18 months, but we did have a spike that you're probably looking at in March, and then April it came down, but it was still a little high. May came down again, and for the injuries in May, we were under our target. For the incidents, we were a little above, but I can tell you for June, we only had 2 incidents and 0 injuries. And Mr. Chairman, I saw your note to call you, because we're going to talk, because I do see a trip for you that we sent to that company. And so those trips only come out of the scheduling system. So I've got to see which trip were they, did you say they were going to take you to, and which trip did you book online? Because I know you used
one trip for tomorrow, and they attempted me to take me to that destination. And when I saw, I'm like, I'm going far away in Virginia. Why are we still near my house? I said, you need to return me to home.
We'll have to see about that, because because all of these non-dedicated trips, number one, keep in mind, these are no more than 10 miles. So I'm not sure.
Got a trip for tomorrow mixed up with where they're supposed to take me during that window today.
I'll follow up with them and we'll talk, but I'm looking at the trip that was scheduled in web booking, and that's not the destination, but we'll talk a little more.
Okay, good, Mr. Yep. Blake. And also, Mr. Blake, there was another incident that I know was reported through the American Council of the Blind, and on the individual who had an issue on bus. Has that been resolved? What's the status of that particular issue?
That's being investigated by it's no longer called ADAP, but in the old ADAP, if you will, the new right. ADAP, which is system-wide accessibility, because that did occur on fixed route.
Right. But
one thing I've shared with, because that is taking on a life of its own, there's a lot of people who are interested in wondering how could that happen one thing I've shared, I said I don't have the final investigation results or anything, But one thing all Metro Access customers should remember is that, yeah, there'll probably be a lot of bus operators. I'll use Metro Access as an example. While there may be some Metro Access operators who will carry six bags for you, that's a courtesy. That's nice of them to do that, but we can't expect that from every operator because the limit is four bags and 40 pounds.
Right.
In this case, there are probably a lot of Metro bus operators who allow especially if they know the customer, a Metro Access customer, not to tap their card when they're getting on a bus.
Because,
mm-hmm. you know, you get to ride the rail for free. That's one of the great things we have here. However, if there is a time when a bus operator happens to ask you to tap your card, and I'm not blaming anybody, I'm not saying, just always remember you are required to tap your card. And that helps, just doing that helps avoid potential issues, if you will. Now, some of the things I heard after the fact certainly did not live up to the spirit, just on the surface, of what things I would expect, if you will. But I'm letting the proper officials handle that part of the investigation. But as the vice president over the Office of Eligibility and Outreach, we do issue the Smart Trip Metro Access cards, and just want to have a public announcement that you are required to tap the card every time you come on.
And I got called on it the same way a few years ago, a number of years ago, telling me that, hey, we know who you are, but you've still got to tap your cap, your card here when you get on the bus. So got that. But the individuals, once the investigation is done and over, they will be advised as to the outcome, right?
Yes, they're going to be contacted by Metro's Office of System-Wide Accessibility.
Good. Okay, that's good. I just wanted to follow up on that, make sure that hadn't been dropped. I didn't think it had. I hadn't heard anything, and my sources are pretty good at letting me know when.
Oh, yeah, I know.
When she knows something.
This is a network, and I've heard this story has gone as far as Ohio to some people. But
oh, good. Okay, then. Happy to hear it. Well, good. Nothing like. All right, Paul, anything else?
The other thing I want to mention, the presentation made by our wonderful director of Metro Access Service about some of the new opportunities in terms of that will be coming out this summer in terms of customers being able to use, you know, the phone to check on, where's my ride in terms of ETA and other features that will be possibly coming out. They'll be able to see you, maybe make a reservation by text or, you know, things like that. They're beginning to do right now for other capabilities that both her and Mr. Blake alluded. So, you know, we just want to be, you know, on the ears about this, stated that it'll be happening at some point this summer. And we look forward to having more technical options while still having the, as I reiterated earlier, the phone lines to be open for those who need to call reservations and where's my ride. But the expanded opportunities for the other technical solutions to get information that, we normally would get from an agent.
Okay. Very good, Paul. Thank you. Any other questions,
we'll be working
Paul?
On that. Can I say one more thing before we go?
Sure.
I just want to say I'm amazed that watching Paul, I see Tino has a comment, so we're going to come to Tino. I just want to say I'm amazed that watching Paul ride in a Tesla as he's conducting or helping conduct this meeting, because we see the open roof there, we can look at the sky as he's going under bridges and everything else. So the world today with Metro Access, Teslas is the future for some of y'all.
Well, if Steve can do it from halfway across the world, then we can let, Paul do it too. Go ahead, Tino.
Okay, Chair Sheehan, I'm sorry, Tino, bear with me for a quick second. We have three hands up right now. Denise Nash, Tino Calabia, and then we have a member of the public, Amber Woods.
Who is the member? Women, hang on. Who's the member of the public?
Amber Woods.
Okay. Why don't we take the member of the public first, and then we'll go to our people. We've got about 10 minutes left, so we want to finish this up. So, okay.
So, Amber, when you start talking,
Amber, yes, thank you.
Good evening, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi, yes. I live in Prince George's County. about all 40 some plus years of my life. And I'm very passionate about this county. I want to see it grow and get better as well and be like its other surrounding areas just as equally well, because people here also deserve great service as well. So thank you for listening to me. One of my titles I have, and I really can care less about titles because it's really a passion that I do care about. I'm a commissioner. I serve on the Commission for Individuals with Disabilities. In fact, last year, we know that as a commission as a whole, we have invited WMATA and a couple of other groups to listen to our panels about our concerns about persons throughout the county. However, I know outreach seems to be one of the things that is the hardest to really abstract information from county members. I know that one thing's for certain, I always keep telling them as I champion this with my fellow commissioners, that transportation is the main vein in our society. And if you close that vein, or if it has a blood clot like a body, it will, that part of the body will wither and die. And so we know that Prince George County, just like other surrounding areas, they're the metropolitan area, the DMV specifically, helps connect that as a whole. I mean, I have members who can't get from Bowie to Brandywine. And I did actually testify on some of these, one of the many findings that we have a problem. I have also mentioned in Champion about one member that I know that they said they're starting to decrease the services or cut off their services with the W-14. She is an individual I know personally that has two parents, and father is now W-amputee due to diabetes, and mother's getting much older. Pretty soon, she's going to really just depend all solely on Metro Access to get to where she needs to go. And that is just one individual. And what I'm really concerned about is the other individuals as we age in our area who will need our services, who are not yet customers. And when they find out that their grandfather's out, that's my biggest concern, because I know that a lot of the services around here depends on ridership. And a lot of people also might have pride right now because, you know, some people might have been very independent all their lives and have no idea about the services of Metro Access. So I'm wondering how we can kind of increase more of that ridership that really is needed for either a lack of knowledge. Pride, we might not be able to help too much, but really the lack of knowledge is to really try to increase that knowledge as well. And that actually is effective, not just only Prince George County, but as a whole of people who need the service, who don't know, simply don't know about it and need to be educated. I also too would love to get connected with more of decision makers who definitely deal with transportation in Prince George County. I would love to actually know to get connected with that. Like well, I said,
certainly I think we want to move this forward on our agenda. So we'll make sure that you know what's going
absolutely.
On.
Absolutely. So I would love for actually too that I can also be kept in the loop. I have been on this meeting before. I don't know if anyone has my information. I know Ms. Denise Rush. I know also Tawan Farmer as well, et cetera. But if I could share my information, let me know.
Sure. Anu, I think we can get Amber's information. Thank you. Yeah, I think that would be great. Certainly, we can keep you in the loop, and you're a subject matter expert in Prince George's County. So we want to make sure that you're part of the solution going forward. You can help us, I'm sure. Good.
Amber, are you able to write a message in the chat directly to me?
I won't be able to do it in the chat, but I can say it right here. And I don't mind sharing that information.
Okay, go ahead.
This format, okay. My email is woodsamber83@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. You can contact me with that, and then you can follow up with the 301-978-6686 via chat. Via text, or you can call me. Mm-hmm. And if need be, and once you contact me, I can also provide an alternative email as well.
And just so you know, that in our meeting schedule and the meeting information is also posted on the AAC pages on our website, which is same. And our agendas also get posted before the meetings. So if you'd like to check those at any time, you're most welcome to do that.
Yes, and you said one more time, I can see that information where again, ma'am?
Okay, it's on our website, which is WMATA.com, on the Accessibility Advisory Committee pages.
Okay, excellent.
All right.
Thank you, Amber.
And this is Ms. Rush. I just have one more thing. Tino, I should have asked this question when you were talking. What is the update on where the public restrooms that are accessible for the rail?
Denise, we should calendar that for the one of the next meetings. But I'm glad you came on, Denise. I just remembered that the bus rail network redesign folks are going to be presenting their plan to the WMATA board sometime in September. So we need to act faster than what I assumed before. Maybe you Amber Woods and I and anyone else from PG County, we should identify a PG County official, a county delegate or senator to the Annapolis. We should identify one or both, and maybe we can meet with them somewhere in PG County itself between now and the end of August, so that we can get a report into Melissa Kim and Al Himes about this matter. It's too late for us to invite the a delegate or a senator later in the fall, because the report's going to be delivered already in September. So Denise, let's get together and identify an elected official or two and have Amber Woods join us somewhere in PG County.
And this report, Tino, that is, this report, Tino, is an update on the Better Bus Network to the Board of Directors?
Yeah, it's okay. Going to be discussed with the board in September sometime.
Okay, good. Okay. Actually, that should be, if I'm correct, the fourth Thursday in September, which would be around the 25th.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Still think that getting discussions together now and getting our facts straight would be good. Okay.
Yeah. We don't have to wait for a meeting of either the AAC or the BRS. Let's try and meet with one or two of the elected officials in the next several weeks. Is it okay with you, Denise? She's muted, but I'm hoping it's okay with her.
Let's put that out on the list and see what we can do to generate a conversation. Yeah.
Okay.
That is not a problem. Just tell me where to be. You know I will show up. Thank you.
Okay.
And so Janet, we're coming down to our last couple of minutes. Tino, I think you wanted to say something, and I don't know if we have another speaker.
Oh, no. That was what I wanted to say.
Oh, good. Okay. Thank you, Tino.
This is Sandy. Jana Samuels has spoken up and said she'd like to help out in PG County as a resident too. So don't
thank you, Sandy. Thank you.
Good. We need her email address. We have Amber's. I'll get Amber's from Anu.
I believe Anu has my email address as well.
Okay, good.
I'll share that. Thank you.
Okay, great.
I'll share this.
Did we have one more speaker before we?
No, we have covered everyone.
A message from me to Mr. Blank. August is coming up, sir. We expect an August surprise from you, so don't disappoint us. And Anu, you want to wrap up with your?
Sure. I just want to state that any members of the public, if you'd like to send your public comments through email, that is Metro AAC Chair at WMATA.com. It's spelled out METRO. AACCHAIR at WMATA.com or call at 202-962-1100. Thank you. That concludes my announcement.
Okay, very good. We are at time right now. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
So,
everyone shouts at me. Okay, I think we got 5 seconds. Okay, I don't think there's going to be any discussion. This meeting is adjourned. Thank you, committee. We'll see you in September.
Okay.
Happy thanks. July 4th, everyone.
Okay. Yes, everybody. Good.
Thank you.
Happy thanks, everybody.
July 8th for BRS.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yes, we do have two more meetings this month. Next Monday, July 8th, the BRS, and then July 15th, the Medical Access Subcommittee.
Anouk,
yes.
The email addresses of Amber and her name, Janice?
Janice Samuels. Give me one second. Oops.
Thank you.